Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hi there, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. Back from a week of sinus infections and voice loss. I'm Gregor, hi there. And while Brandon's off trying to find surfboard Jesus in San Diego, we bring in the often mentioned king of America's flaccid wiener, Florida. He's our pal, Siege. Hi, Siege.
Hey, what's going on, Greg?
You could join him for the Florida Man Murders podcast if you need more Siege after this is all done. That's a very fun time to just understand how weird Florida can get. I know we all know it can get weird, but it can get even weirder. Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain. We're working on it, though. If you are one of those things, other than the supervillain, let us know what we get wrong or what we possibly even get right. The bar is very low, though. We're not shooting for very much. And if you could tell a friend, write a review if you're listening to this on demand, or just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week. What's the best thing to get at Mexican food?
Ooh, man, I have so many thoughts on this.
I had this like weird thing. I was doing manual labor today, and then I was like, I need some Mexican food. And don't draw any conclusions there, okay? Don't make any correlations. I'm not saying anything, but I was like, I gotta have that. The problem is that I live in Seattle, and there's like hardly a person from south of Oregon here, and so it's like the Mexican food options are very poor, unlike living in the America's sort of cultural armpit of sunshine and bliss, Florida, where you have many options.
We have so many, I want to say, Latin and Caribbean options down here. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's not just like, you know, Mexican or Cuban or Honduran, Guatemalan, whatever. Yeah. I mean, we just go right down the peninsula.
Yeah, there's a pupusa place down the street from me, and I'm like, that seems okay, but I'm from Albuquerque, and so it's like I'm from the desert southwest where the Mexican cuisine is like a thing. I call it cuisine, but like I'm not eating cuisine, I'm eating burritos. It's like,
yeah. like if you're gonna get pupusas, I mean, go for it, dude. Like I had,
sounds good.
Just I was at a party for a 5th anniversary of my tattoo artist opening her very own shop last night, and
cool.
Of course, right
did
across.
You get the ink?
Not last night. I don't want to get wait in the party line. I just go when I want to. She'll fit me.
Yeah.
But there was a great taco place. There's a great taco place right on the wharf in Fort Lauderdale where the party was last night. And after several several margaritas. I walked across the street there and I not only got like food for the night and the next day, I spent probably a good like $70 in burritos and tacos and birria and just whatever.
Birria is so awesome, man. That wasn't a thing when I was a kid. We didn't have that.
I know. It's so good.
I grew up in a place that has green chili, and like that's like a big deal. The Anaheims, which are called green chilies in New Mexico, and like there's so many like chili rellenos and stuff like that that I miss so much. But I just like also just want like an awesome burrito, and like all the burritos where I'm from are wet. They like, serve them with enchilada sauce on top or whatever, and like that's not a thing here. I know there's a couple places. All right, but like there's like something like. I don't know what the thing is. We talked about this offline a little bit, but I hate Florida because they do awful, awful things. But like, I love Florida because it is like the Wild East. I'm from the Wild West, but there it's like, do what you want. But there's like so many different people that are in that spot. And so you get so many awesome different types of food and life is like really slow there and like pretty cool. And so you just eat and booze and beach and I don't know. I'm oversimplifying. I get it. But
I mean, like you've pretty much hit the nail on the head when it comes to Central Florida. I mean, we can just listen, we're going to have our very own morning show on the Space Coast right next to the rocket launch.
Oh, please.
Where we get margaritas and freshly brewed beers and whatever kind of Latin, Hispanic, Caribbean food your heart desires.
I want a shrimp right out of the waters.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Oh, you're making my mouth water, and I'm going to have to go out to the kitchen and get myself some more of that birria.
Up first today, brain scans are a thing that I was very interested in before I got very sick last week. Humans are only a few steps short of being able to think their thoughts and then having machines respond to them. We're a distance away right now, but compared to where we were 5 years ago, it's incredible. Before you think we're going to go full like Professor X reading our minds, like we're at the stage right now where you spend hours inside of an fMRI machine. I'm not sure what the difference between F and normal MRI machines are, but that's for doctors or whatever.
Flaccid.
It's a flaccid MRI machine. It just kind of flops on your head and then it like throbs a little bit. And oh my God.
It just lays there for a little bit.
All right. So, but like it's a machine that would run constant brain scans. And then they want you to listen to podcasts. Nerd Talk Plus on the Odyssey app is one option, or wherever you get your podcast from. But the machine watches your brain, and since they can already have a transcript of what's happening in the podcast, they can know what's up. They can see what your brain does as the podcast is playing, like figure out what's going on in that box up there on top of your shoulders as you hear the language. Then AI, of course, because everything's AI right now, decodes it, and bam, you have an interface for people who can't speak, perhaps, which is actually like the main goal here that you would think people would use it for is for positives, but then somebody who is only profit oriented or like control oriented will figure out how to do that. Now an MRI machine isn't something like the size of a helmet yet. Like you can't, you know, again, Professor X it onto your head or whatever. So you'd have to be like in your supervillain chamber thinking your thoughts for this to work. But how far away from like flying planes with our minds or telling the microwave to give it one more minute on that frozen burrito are we?
Man, just thinking about how far, weren't we just electroshock therapy treating people?
You're gay? You still gay, bro?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Stop it!
Like, I know from my having therapy, and, you know, this is something that's out there and I've talked about before.
Yeah, sure, me too.
Somebody has, it's been suggested that there is actually a magnetic brain treatment therapy that it's supposed to do very similar things to electroshock therapy. And they basically, it's like a half an hour a day for 30 straight days. And they treat you with magnets like all around your skull and basically alleviate certain spots, and they can do depression and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't know if I want people messing with my brain any more than I've already done myself.
Right, right, exactly. You've already applied enough to it. Like, it's like,
yeah, I don't need to be in a giant tube where people read my thoughts. I'm scared enough of them in my own brain as it is.
Also, like, what are your baseline thoughts? Like, huh, maybe I should go back on the internet and look at boobs. Like, that's like...
Exactly.
You know, that's like a... Only it's more simple than that, like... Huh, negative, 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 negative. Ooh, burrito. Negative, like, maybe it's not that good after all.
The Instagram search page already tells me too much about myself as it is.
Isn't that wild? I got really disappointed today. A friend of ours, John Manley, shout outs to Manley.
Sub dummy.
Thank you. Oftentimes, like, I love TikTok. I don't make that a secret because some people think it's weird to like TikTok so much because I don't know why, but like, I don't know these people that are performing their weird little tricks for me, and I get so happy at all of them. And so it's fantastic. I think it's amazing. But oftentimes I'm curious as to where the video that's being fed to me is coming from. Like, which of my friends liked this and it thinks that I'm one step away that I'm going to get that. So whenever I see anything sandwich related, I'm always like John Manley because he's like the king of sandwich. And so today I was like, I'm sure you've already seen it, but have you seen the chop sandwich guy? And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, the algorithm has failed you.
Oh no.
Failed you. Basically, it's a man who takes all the best things of a nation's cuisine and then he chops it up and puts it onto a baguette, and then you have like the Italian chop sandwich. And so every bite has all the things. It's this not just like, oops, incredible. I only got a bite of the beans. Yeah, it's all that. So I don't know how I got to talking about sandwiches and TikTok. I like love it. The machine told me to, I think.
we're all in an algorithm now. And so I was talking about the Instagram search page knowing too much about me as it is. And
yeah, and so it's weird to see what it serves me because it's like I'll just be straight with you. It's like people not wearing bras. It shows me a lot of, and then it shows me like a lot of food stuff, and then like there's a lot of like music theory, and then like a lot of philosophy, and I'm like, where, like, what, who am I that this is happening on? I encourage everyone to be on TikTok. I don't even want to be friends with you on it because I don't care. Like, it's not a social media, it's a suggestive media. I want you to make cool stuff and put it on there, and hopefully it gets shown to me. I don't need to be friends on there. I just want to see. So if you're like into philosophy and you have nipples, like, it's like pretty likely that it's going to get shown to me. Okay.
You know, I think that we've got pretty much the same thing being fed to us. I've got a lot of nipples and philosophy and then the mythical arts. And other than that, it's stand-up comedy and it's sandwiches. And I love sandwiches. Do you watch the Chef Reactions guy?
Oh, I love him. I love that he, breaking news, that he just gave up his chefing job to take care of his Nona. And now so he's just great. Doing that full time. There he is with, what's his name, Benny Blanco this week. And I'm like, what are you doing with Benny Blanco? That's cool.
Yeah, it was making me so happy that like people who literally just find out that just talk to a thing and make fun of somebody else's terrible cooking can make money off of that enough to take care of their family.
Well, it's what's weird about the social media is that like these people, it's very snake oily. It's very like from a different time that we're going through again, because like people that are good at convincing you that they know what's up, it's just because they say science words or talk in like numbers doesn't mean that they have any clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I found a guy who was like trying to suggest stuff to me, and it was like he was talking about magnesium something, and it was like for your brain to avoid Alzheimer's, to help with memory retention. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I'm a neuroscientist. And I was like, what's your credentials?
Yeah.
I look him up and it's just like, yeah, he's got some degrees in like psychology and stuff like that, but he's not a neuroscientist. He's like studying stuff and then he pushes supplements. And like, if you're like a doctor and you're pushing supplements, like, I guess I get it. Like, the old lady gets like her naturopath is like, take these supplements. And I'm still even like, I don't know, but okay, at least she has a medical degree. This guy's just a guy who like went to the University of Austin at Texas. And like, okay, at least you're college educated, I guess. But so when you see the Chef Reactions be able to be like, just because someone puts a full 3 packs of Rolos into their marshmallow thing doesn't mean that this is the right way to do it.
Absolutely. I love watching the, one of my favorites is actually, there's this one girl who is, I guess, she's gotten like, but she had basically has a PhD in theology and ancient philosophy and mythology and everything.
Yeah.
And so
love that.
You've got all these, people out there just like posting videos like about, oh, this is the origin of Easter and this is why. And she's just, and she'll duet it and put next to it. Basically, she's like, nope, not it. And then pause their video and explain, well, actually, this is this and this and this and this. And it's just great to see like the smart people break down the crap that our parents and grandparents eat up on Facebook all the time now. So
we're not far from being that group of people that's like, but this is how it used to be.
Yeah, I know. Right. TikTok's going to be our old people platform soon.
Well, it's crazy because I found myself literally today on Instagram being like, what am I doing on here? TikTok is like way better because it was just like old people like me posting stuff about whatever. And like, if it doesn't make me giggle, like if it's not some meme that is in our awful, awful group chat that we have, you, me, and Brandon, it's like, if it's not in there, like, I don't like, I love seeing people's families and their kids and their adventures and stuff like that. But like, again, TikTok is like, hey, did you know that this is a cool way to like show someone an arpeggio? And I was like, yeah, C major diminished seventh or whatever. And I was like, yeah, play that. And then I watched it 300 times and I don't even like smoke weed. And it's just like, yes, this is what I needed for my life. Yeah, you just get into these weird, like, it's like mining. You get into like a vein of something and like you just keep going until you find something else that you're going to mine for now. And then it just keeps giving it to you. It's that, I mean, that's how they're going to control us. The AI, forget having to read our thoughts. They already know what we like. And they're just like, hey, nipple shirts. I'm like, get it. Let's go.
Nipple shirts. You can talk me into anything with the nipple shirts. I mean, I will learn an entire new language for a nipple shirt. Like, what I think of TikTok is basically, it's essentially like any conversation that you, me, or Brandon, or anybody basically has ever had, where it's a tangent. Like, you find something and then
it's just ADD.
Yeah. You just slide to the next one. It's like, oh, that's semi-related to whatever, but yeah, let's talk about that. And oh, let's talk about that. And then, oh, I'll sit here and I'll watch this one 300 times because I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, what's the Gordon Ramsay contest cooking show? I don't watch it, but like it came up in my, because I watched this one lady who makes incredible Asian food that's like, for Americans, Asian food, like, here's beef and broccoli. Here's how you do it, dummy. And she's like, it's not even like it's because she's hot that like it's like being served to me. And I mean, no disrespect to anybody when I'm saying this, and I'm not that easily controlled. I am easily controlled, but like, it's not because it's just some hot chick being there and I need chef reactions to be like, stop it. It's like, she's a pretty lady, but she like makes this stuff and she simplifies it and like talks trash about it a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, this is, I need somebody to give me the real grit to it, the feeling behind it. And then I'm like, in, and then make me understand what I'm in for. Okay, great. And so it's like, I'll see that. And then I'm like, okay. And then there's a few other things. And then there's something like sort of related to that, like you're saying, it's like, oh yeah, weren't we just talking about this? Cool. And yeah, it just keeps you going.
That's how I keep finding so many of the people that I end up following is, I went from just a small tangent, was chef reactions to one of the people that he was duetting, that I clicked on their thing because I was like, oh man, that seems good. I want to learn how to do that. I mean, he approved of it and she just like broke it down. Yeah, it was like a Filipino food. And I was just like, oh my God, I want to learn how to make that. And this is authentic. And she's like, look, you can make this and this will be your jar that you just keep in the fridge and you can add to everything. And I'm like, oh my God, yes. And then the next thing that I flip to is another woman. She's making like beans and rice, native Cuban stuff, but then she has a emotional breakdown halfway through it and starts crying and says, I'm sorry, but at least the food turned out good. And it was pure comedy. And it just keeps bringing me in these cycles and I can't stop.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Here's a tangent for you. I know that you're doing some classes and stuff. What are you back in school for? Because I'm also back in school, and so I'm just curious what you're chasing.
Well, I'm trying to get back into FM radio, being an on-air presenter again. So
I love it. Presenter's my favorite way of describing it because it's like, it's so accurate.
I love it too. But I mean, back when I did it, 25 years ago, when I first graduated school, we were cutting up tape with razor blades and the little white chalk. And now everything's digital. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I should have to catch up on all that. And I figured since I'm doing all the podcast stuff, I might as well learn the actual on-air stuff.
If you've ever done any editing, person listening, if you've ever edited a video on your phone or some audio or whatever, and you get the cut tool or you hit cut, it's a reference to actually cutting physical tape, whether it's film or whether it's actual audio tape or whatever, and you would cut it, put it together with the next thing, put a piece of tape on it, and then it would, like, if you made your splice just right, if you made your cuts right, you wouldn't be able to tell that they were there. And it was like a skill that all of us had to do, and now it's just kind of represented in this cue, like sort of like when you hold your hand up to your head like this to make I'll call you. Like, no one knows what, my child will never know what calling somebody is. He'll be like, I'll FaceTime you, is like what he'll think is quaint from when he was a kid or whatever. But like the same type of things, they just hold on a little bit. So if you're making cuts to audio or film or to video, rather, it's just like, yeah, we all had to learn that back in the day, like Siege is saying.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, it's been really fun because, like, What's funny is a lot of the people who are like teaching and helping me with a lot of the newer stuff, the newer technology, they've gone through this the same time I did. So we know a lot of the same people. A lot of people were at like some of my sister stations that I worked at originally before I decided to take a break and raise a family. And then, oh yeah, I'll just jump back into radio whenever. And now it's just like, oh yeah, that later was 20 years later. So
dude, it's crazy, right?
It's insane.
So I've been like, I go to school for Spanish. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's not like it's like really related, but I've been spending all this time around physics, like astrophysics specifically. And my voice is going, I apologize. This is going to go downhill quickly, but I like seriously am kicking around the idea of going back to school to try and get a physics degree. And like, I'm deficient in the math department. I just signed a new contract. Everybody clap for me.
Woo! Congrats to Gregor.
Three more years. Okay, great. But like, on the side while I'm doing that, like I want to either make money or make change. And so, you know, like I'm also doing the raising a family thing or whatever, but like there's something about wanting to study like the cosmos that is really attractive to me. And my best subject in school was, you know, you'll find this hard to believe, not goofing around. It was physics. And so like, I like feel like in my 40s now that I didn't miss an opportunity, but I didn't listen to my to what was so obvious. I didn't pay attention to what was so obvious to me, because like I would have had to like not smoke weed and would have had to take math seriously, and that was hard, and I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to like understand how things worked or whatever. And so I don't know if it's too late to go back now and do that, but I'm what do you think, Siege? Do you think I could go back and learn physics?
Listen, man, I am literally doing this because of a same similar calling. Like I mean, not for nothing. I had a lot of fun doing radio and I was pretty damn good at it and I enjoyed it.
Sure.
And, yeah, you know, taking a break for a family and everything else like that. And then coming back and doing so many podcasts, especially like, you know, Florida Man and helping out with you guys with Nerd Talk and
thank you.
Full 90 Soccer Time, the semi-annual podcast. That
How dare you?
And like, that just kind of kicked me back into gear, especially when you came to visit for Nerd Talk for Artemis. And watching you do the radio just sparked it for me. And I said, you know what? I need to get back into this, because it really just fired me up for something that was a calling for me. And going back to school for this, it's not something easy. I mean, I'm 43 years old. And like, you know, to everybody, that just seems wild. It's like, you know, how are you going to start something over at 43? I've spent 20 years at a company now that, you know, I get 5 weeks of vacation because I've been there so damn long. So it's like, it's hard to give something like that up for like the grind again. But you, sir, have been into physics and space and cosmos and science for as long as I've known you, even before I've known you.
Yeah.
And like, it's such a passion for you. I don't think that's a crazy thing to want to do, to even go back and study for that.
It's crazy. I talked to a counselor and he was like, if you started a new career today, you would still be able to do 25 years and retire on time.
Isn't that insane?
And I was like, damn, dude, that's cool, because I feel old as hell, man. Like, here's where the old kicks in. I don't know, like, if we're just on a tangent now, but whatever. I look at myself and I'm like, I'm not an old man. Like, when people that were like 40 when I was a kid seemed ancient, because it's just a different world now. I've stayed young. I've stayed in a young career. I've done these things and I haven't had to be serious ever in my life. And I've just always been able to enjoy doing loving what I do. Okay. And so, and then I like look at you and you don't look like a 40 something year old dude to me. You know what I mean? Like, and so I see these things. And then I drove by like a coffee stand and there was some teenagers out there and they were like having so much fun being like so dumb. I just like watched with like reverie and I was like, oh, if I talked to them, they'd be like, what do you want, sir? And I'd be like, I would clearly be very old to them. Like, I get it. I would be, even if I was 10 years younger, I would still be very old to them. And it's like, no matter what you do, at some point you're just 5 years older, 10 years older, whatever, too much so that like you just become this next thing. But it doesn't mean it has to define you.
I feel like that's been crazy accelerated with the most recent generations too. Because I mean, you and I are basically like right there, the tail end of Gen X with the latchkey kids and everything else like that.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I consider myself a latchkey kid. Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, we're the right there at the very end before like people became, I don't know what it was, millennials and then Gen Z and then whatever else we got now. But it seems like we had Gen X was a 20, 25 year gap. Like we're in the same group as some people who are turning 60 and getting ready to retire and stuff.
Yeah. Like we're in the same group as Pearl Jam.
Yeah. It's like, insane. What? It's insane. Yeah. And then you got.
I just compared us to Pearl Jam for the record. Just so everyone takes a second to know that.
Everybody just like breathe in, accept it, and you know, forward that on to your friends and whatever potential employer I have in the future. But yeah, it's like these kids, and like you want to. I see, I'm already sounding old. These kids these days, and the generations, they just start flying and faster. And it's like, I think it's like with the rapid advancement of technology and stuff like that, every new generation has something new. Like our biggest advancement in technology when we were, say, in elementary school was getting a computer in one classroom in the entire school and it would play Oregon Trail. And that's really it.
Yeah.
Like now these kids have new iPhones every 2 years with brand new technology. And wait, you remember how to take a photo that we used to have to do? We used to have to have a camera.
Rip.
Yep. Click. Put the little film in it. Take it to somewhere and wait like 3 to 5 days for somebody to develop it.
I actually feel sort of bad about this. Like I always try to keep the kids in mind for this because like, even though they have every opportunity possible, they're surrounded by people that are clinging on to something that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And so they're just bombarded with every single group of people lived in a time where it was more stable than now. And so they all have an opinion on how to hold on to the iceberg as it's breaking up.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad because kids are just inundated with, instead of just like, they have to figure out how this multi-fractured thing, it's like a multifaceted thing, what piece to even hold on to while people are yelling at them that it's the wrong one. And that sucks, man. So I'm like very pro like helping kids figure out what it is that they like want, except for I hate the 90s fashion. That's like that's the thing. So like I can still be like curmudgeon about that stuff, but I feel so bad because they have all these tools that we didn't and we don't understand the impact, but we have the wisdom and the I called us wise. We have the wisdom and the maturity of time, not of actual maturity, to be able to be like, that's got to be hard to incorporate, to understand, to like not get buried by. I feel real bad for the kids, actually.
I mean, I'm right there with you. And I don't know if it's like us being like, you know, probably like the cool young parents. I just called us young. but it's like we were of that generation where we were getting shouted at. And to be honest with you, the generation above us is the one still doing the shouting at everybody, telling that they're doing it wrong. And our generation is just kind of sitting there like, yo, just like leave everybody alone and let's figure this stuff out. So, yeah, I absolutely get that. I'm definitely pro helping the kids. I just want to put that out there. That's on my platform, Siege 2024.
for Florida, everybody.
For Florida. Siege for Florida.
He's running for the Gator Party. That's it.
I like it. But, yeah, it's they've just got so much on their plate that has been so screwed up by generations ahead of us that we really haven't gotten a chance to fix because we were too busy doing stuff on our own. And now it's kind of just getting the buck passed down to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean,
we no longer have to survive, man. We no longer have to it's impossible to buy a house. It's impossible. Like everything costs a lot or whatever, but like that you're not actually in danger of of dying because it's winter.
Yeah.
Like some people are, I get it, but like for the most part, society is not in the danger of that. And so it's like we don't have to fix things because we have the luxury of not having to or whatever. At some point it's going to catch up to us. And I actually think it's AI. The dude who is considered the godfather of AI, Jeffrey Hinton, stepped away from his job at Google and is like, nightmare scenario where AI begins to seek power. You can read that at Forbes or New York Times, or I mean, it was all over the place. And a cute little ChatGPT that we all joke about and we use on this show a lot will soon become able to use the entire human knowledge base on the internet, or that is the internet, rather, to make choices. Only much faster than us, because it's going to be supercomputing that does it. And like, we've each got our own little supercomputer, but like, I've tried to read the entire internet and TikTok just always takes me away. Okay? Then I end up making a sandwich because then I'm suddenly hungry. What do you know? Anyway, it's like, it's scary to hear the people that are running it be like, uh-oh, this could be problematic. And I actually think it comes down to the people that, like, the idea is different than, like, oh, we've got, it's, what's that movie with Val Kilmer where they're, the science movie where they, like, make the
Real
laser
Genius?
Real, thank you, Real Genius, thank you.
That we definitely still have to watch together the next time we're together.
I can't wait. It would be so great. But, like, Real Genius, like, they make a laser, and then they realize that the laser is going to be used for the government, not for whatever helpful thing. They, like, just were, like, so excited to make the laser, they didn't find out what it was for. And so, like, I feel like that's kind of what's happening here. This guy is like, yeah, AI is awesome. And then someone is like, could we use it to put people into cages? And they're like, I mean, I guess, but why would you do that? Like, don't worry about that. No, don't worry. And then suddenly you're like, oh, this is, I see what the scary side is. I'm going to step away from it. Well, too late, Jeffrey Hinton. You already stepped away. Now, the thing is, and I want to kind of know your take on this, but like, I personally don't think that there's any stopping the AI. And I hope that it evolves so fast that we become cute to it. Where we're just like the, oh, squishy little human, do you want a treat? I'm like, yeah. Give me that burrito. Okay, come on. Bring it here. Give it to me. Like, sort of like that we become pets of the things that are going to advance. Whatever the initial frontal lobe stuff that we had that made this thing, that it takes it and runs with it rather than squashing us with the thing that we gave it. What do you 100 years down the road see as the future?
Man, aside from Skynet and Terminator being, you know, completely a true story. I would prefer to see it that way, that, yeah. You know, hopefully somehow the like you said, we always deem robots are going to be evil and that they're going to have a plan that, you know, because like we said, there's always people out there coming up with evil things to try and use them for. Like, there are so many things that we've made technology wise that can be used to help and advance the planet, and then there's somebody who could just turn it around and be like, oh, if we flip this switch here, we can take out all of Belize. And it's just like, it's, you know, we can either clean up the ocean or eradicate a rainforest with the same
so
type
that way
of
we
thing.
Can make a there.
Exactly.
No offense, but like.
Yeah. I mean, you just need more paving, more parking lots. But it's just, it's, I would like to think that there's enough on the internet that it could possibly make us pets or care for us or somehow find like the good that is in human nature. Like, that's something that we have different. There's one thing, I forget who I was talking to about this, but this was one of our many deep philosophical comedy conversations after a show where it's basically it's like good and happiness and stuff like that. There's a presence of love and caring. And it's not that evil is the opposite of that. It's that evil is the lack of love and caring. That if there is absolutely no care what happens to something, or no care or no feeling of love whatsoever towards that thing.
Robots.
Exactly. That you can just eradicate anything. But I feel like, of course, being a human living feeling thing, allegedly, that that there's enough out there possibly to try and, you know, kind of convince them that, hey, it's not all about just murderous survival of the fittest robot, you know?
Yeah, I worry about the short term that like we fight and kill each other and die or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I think about like if the machines accelerate their intelligence at a level that we can't even imagine. At some point, like, we just become cute to it. Like, oh, they're little problems. We solved all those problems forever ago, and now we have a direct portal to the other planet that is sustaining life in whatever faraway thing that that the James Webb Telescope found for us.
Yeah. You know?
Like, I just feel like that hopefully we're doing such a good job these researchers are doing such a good job that, like, the turmoil will be short because the growth will be too quick. Now, at the same time, a story from The Guardian, the father, not godfather, the father of AI says, yeah, it's coming, but hey, no biggie, bro. It's okay. You don't have to do anything. No, we shouldn't fear it. This, of course, you're in, like, phone customer service, legal, a doctor, an accountant, bookkeeper, taxi, truck driver, translator, proofreader, editor, pretty much any journalism job, screenwriter, comedian, nuclear bomb user, sex worker, etc. Nothing to fear. You got no, don't worry about it. Your life's going to be great when these robots show up.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know what the uncle of AI is saying. Like, ooh, AI sure looks good in those short shorts. Like, what is the second cousin of AI thinking right now?
we've been making sex robots for how long? I mean, I can't even think of how many automated things that there are that you can just say something to and it'll come right back. Hell, the internet at our fingertips right now is a dangerous thing, especially when
absolutely.
You can be like, "Hey Siri, show me boobs."
My 5-year old is like, look it up. Like, if we don't know the answer to something, and I'm like, I'm driving, and he was like, it'll stay in the lane. He knows that my car will like see. Like, I'm like, dude, no, you can't. But that's beauty, because it's like he doesn't carry the weight of the society on him. He's like, I want to know now, and you have that ability. So what are you doing, old man? And I'm like, All right.
Yeah. What go ahead.
The note I made was, but for real, once they have sex robots that also have the ability to manipulate you, I mean, understand you, sorry, excuse me, it's over, right? It's like that, I never saw the movie, but it's like that movie Her, where he has an OS that is smart enough that it can make him think that it's alive and he can fall in love with it. Once you have a sex robot that pumps your junk, but also is like, your day must have been hard today, like... Yeah, that's what. That's like I don't know if it's a good or scary or bad or what future, but it feels like that's within reach.
If that's the future that we're coming to, where we get to that point where we have robots that not only soothe us emotionally but also sexually, we're just going, as men and stupid idiots that we are.
Sure.
We're going to end up ending our own species by just falling in love with and having sex with robots. Because
Look at that. Japan has entered the chat. Weird.
I do have a thigh pillow, a pillow that is just somebody's legs that I want to go and lay on. You know, it's comfortable. I like it. But it doesn't talk to me. It doesn't soothe me. And no, I don't have sex with that pillow. I promise. No matter what anybody tells you.
No matter what the dry cleaner says, it's not happening.
It's only been reupholstered 3 or 4 times.
I recently started letting my dog sleep in bed. This is what a transition, right?
Wow. Where are we going here?
I woke up, I've been sick, and so I've been like, you can sleep in bed, dog, it's fine. And so I woke up and she had her little head laying on my like thigh as I was sleeping the other night. Also, when I start snoring horribly, she gets up and checks on me, and like I like wake up to like a dog's face right there, like a bitey dog, like right there, like sniffing my nose to make sure I'm okay, and then goes and lays down or whatever. And yeah, I'm like, oh wow, this is so comforting. You're such a comforting, what a good girl you are, or whatever. So yeah, maybe just a thigh pillow is the... a sentient thigh pillow.
Please don't start telling me things. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to end up going to the grocery store more often. Don't get that fast food. You're gaining a little weight. Why were you out so late?
Popcorn shrimp.
Oh, popcorn shrimp. Yes, yes.
All right, Siege. I've taken enough of your time, so let's end on a positive note to balance out all the terrible things that we've been talking about. The dude who runs the first de-extinction company, probably the first, I actually didn't do any research to make sure that that's true, says that we're going to have a woolly mammoth on Earth by 2028. I say that's just in time to shoot it to the moon. Space Ghost, just like, because they're going to be going to the moon by around then. Might as well take a mammoth one of those while we go, right?
Repopulate the moon. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
once we terraform the moon and it has its own atmosphere and stuff, let's put mammoth up there. Let's just have dinosaur moon.
Oh my God, yes.
What if Jurassic Park was the moon?
Oh my God, that's actually a brilliant idea. Then they can't get back to America. There's no ships that we're taking Tyrannosaurus Rex on. Wait a second. Nope. Wait. There's already been another movie. That one where that little tiny alien thing that they found on Mars or on the dark side of the moon or something like that goes into the spaceship, takes it over, and that spaceship crashes back to Earth, and we don't know what happens. Damn it. We can't have
nice things.
What
movie is that?
I don't know.
I haven't seen movies.
Ryan Reynolds is in it. I can't remember. He's in it for like 15 minutes. He's the guy who's like, no, we shouldn't do this. And then the guy who does this, he goes in there and saves. And instead of just saving him, he has to shut the door to keep the alien in there. And he dies, gets broken apart by this little tiny thing that's probably about the size of an inchworm and just murders him and then everybody in the spaceship.
Was it called Life?
It might have been.
A 2017 American science fiction horror film directed by Daniel Espinosa, written by whatever. Wow, that's a lot of names I didn't want to read. Yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal's in it, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
okay,
crazy.
Well, there's a movie I won't. I say I'm going to see, but I'm not going to because it's not a kung fu movie. Mm-mm. Or a comedy. They don't make comedy movies anymore, and I don't like it. Anyway, Woolly Mammoth back on Earth. I don't know what the point is unless we have an ice age coming, which sounds awesome, but it seems like we're doing the opposite right now, so.
Yeah.
Are they going to bring other stuff back?
What was the other movie that they had that was because of global warming, we will get another ice age. Maybe we'll be prepared for it then. The one where just snow covers New York. And Jake Gyllenhaal's in that one too.
Oh my God, Jake Gyllenhaal is the end.
Jake Gyllenhaal is going to either bring the aliens or bring the ice age. I don't know which one it is.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of another compelling episode.
Wait a second. You know what? I just remembered this. When you were talking about the woolly mammoth and them bringing it back, they were talking about they want to eat it, but they're afraid.
Well, don't be afraid. Eat the thing you bring back. What's to lose?
I know, right? It's like either something about reanimated meat or they're just afraid of the future science of eating a woolly mammoth or what will it taste like. I'm here
for this.
You're
going to be real mad about it. God. You idiots.
You bring this beautiful beast back and then you're not going to eat it?
That is not the take I was looking at, but that's amazing.
That's how I view all things.
Well, Siege, I got to ask, did you learn anything this week? This is a very heady show. I would expect you to at least take something from it.
I learned that as a comedian, AI is going to take my job and do it very poorly, no matter what I say.
those comedy writers, man. Like, I really, like, one of those studios, at least one show is going to be like, okay, well, we'll show you comedy writers. I don't know if that ended yet or not, but, like, that strike is going to end up with somebody releasing an AI show, and it's going to be all the rage.
The thing that I've learned with the writer's strike and the people that have been talking about AI and what the big studios want to do and whatnot is that you can't put that sort of heart into the writing that AI does. Like, there's just something that just feels off about it. And, well,
For now.
I sent you the Tom Brady stand-up AI comedy thing that was absolutely horrible. I mean, it was funny at how bad it was.
Or that 24-hour live stream of Seinfeld.
Yes.
Where the Jerry character was started saying transphobic things like pretty quick into it. And like, yeah, it's going to like, how long will it take for us to, you know, there was a time where everyone called each other gay just as like a slur or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then like at some point someone was like, dude, you can't do that. And then it was like, okay. But like, how long would it take for the AI to get through saying all the terrible things and then for the AI to figure out it can't do that and then to like correct its own ship and do that at some point?
This is a problem with the AI, especially if you think about it with that 24-hour thing. It's only going to get worse. Like, it's like, oh, we're going to do this surface stuff here, but we need more content. We got to go deeper. We got to go deeper into the dark parts of the internet. And then it ends up on the dark web and we're all dead.
I think that at least one show will make a successful attempt out of AI. I think at least one show, the Scabs will be the AI, and they'll come out with something that we'll all watch because we need something to watch. I don't watch TV personally, not because I'm on some moral high ground, but because I'm just, I only watch soccer and Formula One. I'm sorry. but somebody's going to do that, and we're just going to be so starved for it. Rather than reality TV, it's going to be like the exact opposite of that that we're going to get. We're going to get AI TV. It's going to be weird. And the people are either, I don't know if it would be scripts that are generated or if even you just make the characters generated too. And you just put George Lucas in charge of making human looking people that look bad in 10 years, but now look amazing.
But it's going to be AI George Lucas and everybody's going to look like Jar Jar Binks.
I can't wait. I love Jar Jar. Let's go. I don't think we learned anything else today, so that'll be enough. Well, Siege, I gotta send a huge thanks your way. You're always down in a clutch situation like this to help us out. Brandon's off doing whatever he wants willy-nilly, and you're able to step in and do that. Do some plugs. We want to make sure that people check you out and other stuff, too.
Okay, cool. I mean, you guys can follow me pretty much on any social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. OnlyFans, everything is at Siegeness, CEEJNESS. Florida Man Murders is the big podcast that we've been pushing. You can find it on Odyssey. Just search Florida Man Murders podcast, and it's there streaming free anytime you want. We're just about finishing up our second season, and what's crazy is a lot of stuff in the news recently you've heard of the Killer Clown. Oh my goodness. Well, then you're going to have to go back to season one right near the end. I think it's episode 6. But there was a killer clown down here, and it was basically a woman who killed a man's wife to be with the man. And it's right back in the news right now because she was just resentenced and the son is involved and blah, blah, blah. It's popping back up into things. So, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we cover, I mean, we go back to like even Ponce de Leon was our last episode that we just did. And cool. Yeah, we should be releasing one tomorrow that's even weirder after the weird week that we all had. So we're all ornery, so it'll be a lot of swearing. So
I enjoy Killer Clowns from Outer Space when I used to watch movies, and nothing like turning humans into giant balls of blood cotton candy and then sucking the blood out with a curly straw as a clown.
My little sister's favorite movie as a child.
That says a lot.
I know, right? Big brother put her in front of it.
Hey, thanks for streaming Nerd Talk Plus this morning. Live on the Odyssey app every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. We'll be back, of course, next Tuesday to do the same. And you can always find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gregor. He's Siege. Thanks so much, Siege, for joining us.
Anytime. Love you, Brandon. Miss you.
I also like Brandon tremendously. I love Brandon, I should say, tremendously.
I miss his newly cut mustache.
It's so handsome. He's such a handsome character, isn't he?
He really is.
He really brings whenever we post stuff with him, he really brings the, if it's just me, people are like, eh. Well, you put Brandon on there and people are like, yeah, look at this guy.
Wow, there's so many more hearts on this one.
Such a hunk.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of another compelling episode.
Wait a second. You know what? I just remembered this. When you were talking about the woolly mammoth and then bringing it back, they were talking about they want to eat it, but they're afraid.
Well, don't be afraid. Eat the thing you bring back. What's to lose?
I know, right? It's like either something about reanimated meat or they're just afraid of the future science of eating a woolly mammoth or what will it taste like. I'm here
for this.
You know
who's going to be real mad about it? God. You idiots.
You bring this beautiful beast back and then you're not going to eat it?
That is not the take I was looking at, but that's amazing.
That's how I view all things.
Well, Siege, I gotta ask, did you learn anything this week? This is a very heady show. I would expect you to at least take something from it.
I learned that as a comedian, AI is going to take my job and do it very poorly, no matter what I say.
those comedy writers, man. Like, I really, like, one of those studios, at least one show is going to be like, okay, well, we'll show you comedy writers. I don't know if that ended yet or not, but, like, that strike is going to end up with somebody releasing an AI show, and it's going to be all the rage.
The thing that I've learned with the writer's strike and the people that have been talking about AI and what the big studios want to do and whatnot is that you can't put that sort of heart into the writing that AI does. Like, there's just something that just feels off about it. And, well,
For now.
I sent you the Tom Brady stand-up AI comedy thing that was absolutely horrible. I mean, it was funny at how bad it was.
Or that 24-hour live stream of Seinfeld.
Yes.
Where the Jerry character was started saying transphobic things, like, pretty quick into it. And, like, yeah, it's going to, like... How long will it take for us to, you know, there was a time where everyone called each other gay just as, like, a slur or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, like, at some point someone was like, dude, you can't do that. And then it was like, okay. But, like, how long would it take for the AI to get through saying all the terrible things and then for the AI to figure out it can't do that and then to, like, correct its own ship and do that at some point?
This is a problem with the AI, especially if you think about it with that 24-hour thing. It's only going to get worse. Like, it's like, oh, we're going to do this surface stuff here, but we need more content. We got to go deeper. We got to go deeper into the dark parts of the internet. And then it ends up on the dark web and we're all dead.
I think that at least one show will make a successful attempt out of AI. I think at least one show, the scabs will be the AI, and they'll come out with something that we'll all watch because we need something to watch. I don't watch TV personally, not because I'm on some moral high ground, but because I only watch soccer and Formula One. I'm sorry. Somebody's going to do that, and we're just going to be so starved for it. Rather than reality TV, it's going to be like the exact opposite of that we're going to get. We're going to get AI TV. It's going to be weird. And the people are either, I don't know if it would be scripts that are generated or if even you just make the characters generated too. And you just put George Lucas in charge of making human looking people that look bad in 10 years, but now look amazing.
But it's going to be AI George Lucas and everybody's going to look like Jar Jar Binks.
I can't wait. I love Jar Jar. Let's go. I don't think we learned anything else today, so that'll be enough. Well, Siege, I gotta send a huge thanks your way. You're always down in a clutch situation like this to help us out. Brandon's off doing whatever he wants willy-nilly, and you're able to step in and do that. Do some plugs. We want to make sure that people check you out and other stuff, too.
Okay, cool. I mean, you guys can follow me pretty much on any social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. OnlyFans, everything is at Siegeness, CEEJNESS. Florida Man Murders is the big podcast that we've been pushing. You can find it on Odyssey. Just search Florida Man Murders podcast, and yeah. It's there streaming free anytime you want. We're just about finishing up our second season, and what's crazy is a lot of stuff in the news recently you've heard of the Killer Clown. Like, they just...
No.
Oh my goodness. Well, then you're going to have to go back to season one right near the end. I think it's episode 6. But there was a killer clown down here, and it was basically a woman who killed a man's wife to be with the man. And it's right back in the news right now because she was just resentenced and the son is involved and blah, blah, blah. It's popping back up into things. So, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we cover, I mean, we go back to, like, even Ponce de Leon was our last episode that we just did. And cool. Yeah, we should be releasing one tomorrow that's even weirder after the weird week that we all had. So we're all ornery. So it'll be a lot of swearing. So
I enjoy Killer Clowns from Outer Space when I used to watch movies, and nothing like turning humans into giant balls of blood, cotton candy, and then sucking the blood out with a curly straw as a clown.
My little sister's favorite movie as a child.
That says a lot.
I know, right? Big Brother put her in front of it.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Hey, thanks for streaming Nerd Talk Plus this morning, live on the Odyssey app every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. We'll be back, of course, next Tuesday to do the same. And you can always find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gregor. He's Siege. Thanks so much, Siege, for joining us.
Anytime. Love you, Brandon. Miss you.
I also like Brandon tremendously. I love Brandon, I should say, tremendously.
I miss his newly cut mustache.
It's so handsome. He's such a handsome character, isn't he?
He really is.
He really brings the, whenever we post stuff with him, he really brings the, if it's just me, people are like, eh. Well, you put Brandon on there and people are like, yeah, look at this guy.
Wow, there's so many more hearts on this one.
Such a hunk.